This podcast is certified fresh.
Freshmediaworks.com.
Hey there, Mikey Pod listeners. This is Chef Mark from the Remarkable Palate Podcast and Remarkably Mark. Now, on Remarkable Palate, I talk all about food, but on Remarkably Mark, it's about my life outside the kitchen. I run around New York City with my dog, Steva, talk to other queer casters, and just have a gay old time. You can find me at remarkablepalate.blogspot.com or at remarkablymark.blogspot.com. Thanks, and enjoy Mikey Pod.
Hello, welcome to Mikey Pod, episode 61. Today is August 9th, 2006, and it's a good day. Today is all about positivity, and we're going to start with these dudes, whose name I can't remember. I'll tell you after the song. This song rocks. It gives me chills, I swear. Here we go.
Another day in this life of mine. I take a deep breath, my lungs fill to capacity. It's gotta be a good day.
Why?
Because it has to be. Stretch out my arms, I exhale out my worries. Rejuvenated, no end of the possibilities. Peace of mind, it fills my bloodline. Yeah, my soul becomes whole as I swing from the vine. I'm unconcerned with time, I finally feel fine. Day is as it should be of my own design. There's no alarm clock needed when I rest, sleep, and dream. My circadian rhythms are all that I need. And I unchoose a bad day and I unchoose to grieve. Because you can't have a good day unless you believe. Every day good and bad will both be around. So let's focus on, listen to the positive sounds of a good day. Shadows stretch out while brisk air flies in. Lingering in the room and cooling the conversation. Calm sets in, a moment of meditation. The whole day is playing back in my mind. Of all the people and their faces in this moment of time. Some are wearing smiles, others following the misery. Some find tomorrow while others become history. Now where do I fit in? Am I the author or the artist? The moon or the stars or the sun that lights the darkness? Could be the dumbest and again could be the smartest. I learned about perspective between the closest and the farthest. See, I've been the farmer in the season of the harvest. It was learned to sow the seeds that I labor the hardest. Now every day good and bad will be around. So let's focus on this and the positive sounds of a good day.
Talk about the bad day. Oh, my friend.
from the PodSafe Music Network. That's Good Day from Natives of the New Dawn. That song, I heard it first. I think the only times I've ever heard it have been on Riding with the Window Down from Chris Daly, who we'll hear from in a minute. But every time I listen to it, I get like chills and like this feeling of like, yeah, it's okay. Like everything is just totally okay. Yesterday I got into this total like freak show about my computer like screwing up, and it was screwing up and it pissed me off really bad. But I'm like bitching at my friends who they can't do anything about it. Y'all just calm down, okay? So I called AppleCare. They gave me some advice. I tried it out. And then I realized like I just get in this like whirlwind, or like what do you call it when you like keep doing it? Like some cycle of just like getting more and more angry about like something that's not even like, you know what? Getting angry is not going to help. So I would like to like send a little love out to Rob Average Penis and also Puffy, because you two are the two people that I like freak out at the most. And Puffy said it perfectly. Don't complain to me. Take it to the Apple store and complain to them. Which reminds me of this message I've been getting from my friend Jim and Carolyn. And that's what they tell their son. Like, if you're going to complain, do it to somebody who can do something about it. So, yeah. So anyway, like songs like that. Like this morning was like good. I was walking Jim and Carolyn's dog, and I hear someone go, Michael? And it was this woman, Tiffany, who I used to work with a long time ago at the Boulevard Bistro. And she goes, are you trying to get rid of two cats? And she had gotten through Michelle Gunnett the email that she sent out so kindly about my cats and about how I'm trying to find a home for them. And she was like, I thought that might have been you, but it's been a long time since I've seen you and la, la, la. So anyway, so... It's just funny. I don't believe that things happen by mistake. And that's such a cliche sort of thing to say, but you know. And so anyway, long story short, she, as well as John from By the Bayou, I think it's bythebayou.blogspot.com, who I need to respond to his email. There are people who have interest in adopting my cats. So nothing like is really panned out for sure yet, but it's like nice to know. And like people are like working on it. Like Tiffany said, oh, I've been trying to find, you know, some options for you. And she's calling her friend in New York who may be, and she's willing to drive my cats up to New York to stay with her friend. It's just cool. Life is good. All right. So that's the lesson for today. It's a good day. The fact that we are here. Okay. See, I have to be cheesy about it, but it's true. Like, I think partly I'm just letting go of so many things. It's really like having an effect on how I feel about things. Like I saw a movie this weekend and I was sitting there like, oh, this is really good. And there was nothing going on except for the fact that I really liked the movie and it was really moving. So, yeah, I think maybe I might, it's just nice. I'm real interested to see what this sort of, dropping everything is going to have an effect on me. Anyway, here's a message from Mr. Daly.
Mikey, it's Mikey Pod on the phone. Hey, Mikey Pod, how's it going? This is a Sea Dog. You know, I really dig your show, and I'm really sad. I'm so freaking bummed out, man. You're leaving me. I met you, what, a year ago, maybe a little bit longer than that? Now, what do? You up and leave. You go off to Quinihana, Nana, wherever it is you're going, and you're just forsaking those of us who are stuck here in H-Town. Anyway, dude, Gus, as long as you keep putting out good shows, you know, we'll maintain that connection, or shows in general. They'll all be good shows. Of course they'll be good shows. Anyway, Mikey. Be cool, dude, and hope, you know, the travels are good. We'll see you before you head out. Peace, bruh. Keep it real.
Thanks for calling in, Chris. I'm going to be getting more and more verklempt about the move as time gets closer. Yeah, I'm leaving. I didn't even mention that today's guests are from, well, there are three of them. Two of them speak. One of them is a dog. From Gay Into Straight America, Dottie Barry and Robin Sapp. And talking to them yesterday was when I did the interview. It's really, even though it didn't sink in until later, like a lot of the things they say are so good. Just and so I learned about them from the Koinonia website because they took a they visited Koinonia. And basically, you'll hear more about this during the interview. They are touring the country. It's been almost a year. They started September 11th, 2005. They're touring the country and just reaching out to people and just like, well, let me just let you listen. So here we have Dottie Berry and Robin Sapp and their dog, Riley Joy, who's sleeping during this interview. Okay, I am here now with Dottie Berry and Robbie Sapp from Gay into Straight America. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks, Michael.
So these guys, it's been almost a year, right, of you guys traveling around the country?
Yeah, about a year and 40,000 miles.
So can you give me a sort of just a rundown of what you guys are up to?
Go ahead, Robbie.
Well, we decided that we were going to set out and go out into America trying to engage hearts and minds and create authentic connections with the goal to dissolve differences that separate us. And so we really wanted to talk with people who were wrestling with their understanding of gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender people in order to just really bridge the divide of polarization. You know, we've just came to a point in our life where we realized that there's so much separation. There's separation in our own families, there's separation in our churches, and there's separation in our government. And we thought, what can we do as one unit to make a difference in the world? And one of the vows in our wedding, both weddings actually, we were married March 7th, 2004, and then we had our spiritual ceremony July 31st, 2004, and at both weddings, we made a vow to create change in the world through the expression of our love. And since we made that vow and set that intention, we have had lots of opportunities to use it. And so we just thought, you know, we wanted to go out and try and make a difference in the world, and this is what we're doing. So basically, we're just going around the country, speaking at PFLAG groups and churches, colleges, universities, coffee shops, rest areas, and just opening ourselves up to have authentic conversation with anyone and everyone who wants to have a conversation, so that people can really know who we are and we can debunk the myths and dispel myths and misinformation.
And when you think about it, you might think, wow, you're speaking to PFLAGs. Aren't you speaking to our group, you know, the ones that already believe the way we do?
Preaching to the choir.
Yeah. And the truth is, though, that as we've traveled, we've come to see that there is much struggle within our own community as there is anywhere else. And the struggle is different. The struggle within our community is just to live our lives authentically. We give a lot of reasons, you know, why we can't. Some of that is that we've bought into the myths that we've been told, such as who you can and cannot tell, how you have to live your life. And, you know, we're really encouraging people to do different because we often ask more of others than we ask of ourselves. And we say, you know, while we're out there pointing at whatever politician they feel is not being accepting, you know, while you're out there pointing, take time for a moment and reach into your back pocket, because the key to our freedom to open that prison door is right there. And we've got to continue to do more, not less. And the more we allow people to know us, the more things will shift quickly, because we start each newsletter with this saying, you cannot hate a person whose story you know. Dare to get to know somebody different. And that applies to all of us. So, you know, that's why when we go to focus on the family and go inside the doors of James Dobson's organization, we go inside with love so that they can see and experience people like us, and then that defies what they've been taught. And we say to them, you know, Dr. Dobson has been on Larry King Live saying that of anywhere from 300 to 1,000 partners, and that's simply not true. We're people of faith. We don't even know anybody like that. And for a man of his stature to, you know, express that misinformation is highly irresponsible.
Mm-hmm. I think the thing about what you guys are doing that is so powerful to me is, like, I think in my own experience, like, I guess it was almost a year ago that Proposition 2 got passed here in Texas that added to the Texas Constitution that marriage was, you know, between a man and a woman only.
Mm-hmm.
And my knee-jerk reaction to that was to get so angry. And I was like, mm-hmm. I'm leaving Texas, and, you know, all of this anger about it. And then when people like you guys who are like, you know, responding to things like this with love and openness, it's really like just a powerful example to be setting.
Well, thank you. But I also wanted to let you know that it hasn't come naturally and easy. You know, when maybe for some people, like for Dottie, it comes more natural and easy.
No, I think the bottom line is it's natural and easy. That's what love is. But fear makes it seem the opposite.
Right. So I was living in my own fear some years back, and I can remember just, probably 3 years.
2001?
Well,
2002.
Yeah. I just started living in my freedom and living my authentic self in 2001.
Yeah.
But in 2002, Dottie and I were listening to Focus on the Family program. It was a three-night program, a three-part program on how to prevent homosexuality in your children. Oh. And it was with Joseph Nicolosi and Dr. Dobson on the Focus on the Family program. And mind you, we listen to Focus on the Family every opportunity we can. And here's why. Because we want to know what they're saying. We don't want to hear it second or third hand. And also, we want to be able to feel the pain and process it and feel the sting of their words so that it doesn't trigger us. In 2002, when I listened to this program with Joseph Nicolosi, I was so angry. It's amazing that the radio didn't get thrown through the window. and so I've had to really learn to handle this. You know, it's, for me, I was fearful and I got triggered a lot. And so Dottie and I are both involved in Soul Force, and we really try to live our lives, and we're taking this journey with an undefended approach and a peaceful, nonviolent approach, such as the works of Gandhi and King. And so it takes some practice to do it. And once you practice and you get to the point where their words don't trigger you, you're on your way.
And that's one of the keys, and that's why we encourage people, rather than to avoid that which is triggering, like you were talking about, what a lot of people want to do is they want to run from it. Well, I tell them, I say, they've got you. Say, oh, no, you don't understand. I have put that as far away from me as possible. That stuff doesn't hurt me anymore because I just don't have anything to do with it. I go, they've got you. You know, because when we're held by the anger of somebody else, we're still coming from a place of fear. We're still coming from that place that says, if only you would say that I'm okay, then I would feel better. And what that does is that gives our power away. Mm-hmm. And we encourage people, we say, you know, you gain your power within yourself by speaking your truth regardless of the outcome. Because when you're attached to a specific outcome, and we took this year-long journey committed to doing it unattached to a specific outcome, and trust me, we have had our opportunities to learn through that, both personally, you know, and within the whole journey. But, you know, if we vow to, you know, change the world through the expression of our love, and we didn't do the journey unattached to a specific outcome, we would constantly find ourselves in a place of fear and disappointment.
Mm-hmm.
And those two don't match up.
Right.
So that was our real opportunity, was to, you know, do this journey and do it unattached to a specific outcome. And that's why we practice that ourselves, and we encourage other people to do it. Again, just reminding them, your power comes from speaking your truth and living your authentic life, not by the result of how somebody responds to you.
Hmm.
Another thing, Michael, is that we really do not engage in debates with people. We are not trying to change anyone's mind on this journey. We're really trying to engage hearts and minds. And by doing that and really
getting below the surface and having an authentic connection with people and sharing stories and listening to their stories, it can move us to a different level. It causes people to shift. And so we some people want to debate scripture, but we don't. That's just, it's futile to debate scripture. It's not going to get you anywhere. And we don't defend who we are because, quite frankly, there's nothing to defend. And when we defend, it separates people.
Are you guys familiar at all with Dave Dellinger, the peace activist?
Dellinger? No,
yeah.
I'm not. Mm-mm.
I just read his biography, and so many of these same sort of philosophies are his. You might want to check him out.
Sounds interesting.
Yeah,
Thank you.
He spent time in prison because he refused to register for the draft in the 60s.
Uh-huh.
And, that he just with that same sort of mindset is how he survived being in prison because he he had that same sort of idea of if he shared who he was with these people that were threatening him, that they would be able to attack him. And it was true.
And, you know, it's sort of back to the same thing where why do we tell people who we are and share our authentic selves? Because people can't use against us that information that we don't care they know. You know, game's over. Because what happens with so many in our community is they're held in fear by the secret, you know, and there's so many people that don't know them authentically, and that fear keeps them in a stuck spot. And it's so unconscious that we often don't realize how deeply that affects the core of who we are.
Mm-hmm.
And we offer, all around the country, we offer rainbow wristbands to people. Some people buy them, some people we give them to, we wear two every day, and hopefully we can give those away. But when people take those, we've said this to every single person, when you wear this wristband, you're making a commitment to creating authentic connections and having deeper conversations in your life, however that works for you. We go, we're not telling you how to think or what to think, we're just encouraging you to think. And so even people that don't agree with us can walk away with a rainbow wristband, and people say, how can that happen? I said, because we tell them, hey, you don't have to agree with us, but when you put the rainbow wristband on, if somebody asks you, you simply say, well, you know what, I'm wrestling with this. I don't really know what I think, or I do know what I think. I think it's wrong. And just have conversations with people. And that's okay with us, because, again, our journey, if you look on our website, it is about transforming ourselves. That's the key person that we're trying to transform. And in that process, we know that it opens up a space for somebody else to be transformed. Who that is, we don't know. We don't have to be in control of that.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Part of, I feel like, with you saying that, I'm sort of going back to how I feel when I tell people for the first time that I'm gay. And a lot of times, I'm saying that, immediately on the defensive. Like, okay, here it comes. Is there going to be a fight?
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't have to be like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, Robbie's got a great example of that. In the early, early beginning of how she would tell some people and sort of apologize and the responses she got out of that versus when she shifted her own healing. Mm-hmm. So, Robbie, why don't you share that? That's a pretty good example.
Right. Well, I made a commitment to tell all of my family members personally, and this was in 2002. And my mom is one of nine, and so I have lots of relatives. But I made a commitment to tell all of my mom's siblings. And I initially did. I would go there and, start crying and say, I have something to tell you, I'm lesbian. And they would cry and everyone was upset.
Oh.
And because I was so afraid of their rejection, and I thought, this isn't working. And so I changed it to, I have some really exciting news for you, and the reason why I wanted to come to see you today was to share this exciting news with you, and they would be like, what? And then I said, well, I'm getting married. And, of course, they were really excited, and then they would ask what his name was, of course.
Right.
And they were quite shocked when I said, well, her name is Dottie Berry. But just because I was coming from a different angle and from an angle of love and positive and empowerment, that changed their response. So they no longer then sat there and cried. They were shocked, yes, but it wasn't such a let-down, negative, kind of a horrible experience.
And it allowed them to sit with their obvious discrimination. Robbie didn't have to say, did you notice that you were very, very excited? I could have peeled you off the wall when you thought it was going to be a man, and that your energy totally shifted when you found out he was a woman. She didn't have to say that at all. It was just so obvious, and they got to sit with that.
And I can remember some in the first days when I was telling my truth, I was so afraid to be in the grocery store or be in the mall because I thought, what if I run into someone from church? And by now, all the church people know my truth, and I was scared to have that confrontation. And so in the first days, I would just run the other way because I didn't want to see anyone. But then I thought, no, I have to live in my power here. And so then I would start seeing people, and I would just go right up to them and introduce Dottie to them. And I just wouldn't miss a beat. And I would just say, you know, this is my spouse, Dottie, and, you know, life is going really well. How are things going in your life? And I would just normalize it, just like anybody would do in a conversation, not apologizing, not defending, just a normal conversation. And it was amazing how people responded back what I was reflecting. I mean, they responded back with comfort and a normal conversation and not fear. And it wasn't like, what, you're gay? You know, it was just like, oh, hi, nice to meet you, Dottie. Nice to see you, Robbie. So that's been a really good lesson for me.
Well, it was kind of funny because here she was running from people, and they had her power, and they didn't even know it because they didn't even see her. You know, so then you begin to realize, wait a minute, I'm giving away my power to somebody who doesn't even know they have it. What's that picture about?
Yeah. Wow, that's fun. I could just imagine myself walking away from that conversation going, did she just say that was her partner?
Absolutely. Yeah, let them take it and journey with it. We say that's one of the reasons we don't defend, is because they go, well, why don't you just, you know, tell us what you think here and there? And we go, you know, we'll have a discussion of scripture and share our feelings and share what we know. And if you need resources, you know, to come to a better understanding of regarding the scripture and homosexuality, here's a resource, Reverend Dr. Lisa Davison from Lexington Theological Seminary, who's a very dear friend of mine, professor of Old Testament. She's written a piece on what the Bible says and doesn't say about homosexuality. But we've already done that journey. You know, if you need to do it again, I mean, we don't need to do it again. If you need to take that journey, that's fine. And also, we found that when you get into a debate, it's like using spiritual 2x4s. Mm-hmm. And what people do is they whack, quack, 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 and then you have two dead people. Well, I don't know about you, but I've never seen two dead people communicate.
Yeah.
And that's what happens when you use those spiritual 2x4s. And also, as you're defending, that action or those words of defense create a situation where people are backing away from one another, not engaging. And so in order to engage, we've got to use the conversation to go deeper, not push each other away. And so that's why we don't take that approach. Bottom line is, we haven't seen it working. So when something isn't working, you have to start saying, okay, if this isn't working, what are we going to do now? And so you try something else, and if it works, I tell people, stay with it. If it's not working, try something else. That's all you can do.
Perfect. That's, yeah, so much to learn from you guys. It's, but all of this stuff, it seems like when you guys are talking, it seems so simple. But like you said, it's a journey of learning how to have, I guess, that level of acceptance and openness to just people's differences.
So, yeah, and you know, I think we can't be afraid to practice, you know, to be wrong at times, to make mistakes. I think that's that's our cultural fear, is that we're going to look imperfect and we're going to be wrong and we're going to do something. And you know what? If we handle a situation wrong, we simply need to clean up our mess as quickly as possible. Robbie had to do that when she was listening to James Dobson and angrily called her mother. She said some things that needed to be said to her mother, but she also said some things in a way that weren't appropriate, and she ended up calling her mother back and say, Mom, what I said was true. The teachings of James Dobson nearly caused me to commit suicide. But the things I said in the angry way, that's not the way I wanted to present it. So what she did was she immediately cleaned up her mess, so she learned something through that. I've done things like that with my family, you know, where I had to go back and clean up my mess. And so that, I just suggest to people, that's a tool to remember. If you do communicate in a way that's not effective and you recognize it, clean up your mess as quickly as possible and move forward, and you'll learn something from it. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's why we encourage people to practice their languaging. I've had people say, well, you know, you have to understand, too, I'm a coach for GLBT people, and, you know, so I'm working with, you know, clients all the time. But I'll have somebody say, okay, Dottie, I'm not dating anybody right now. So when I have a partner, then I'll tell my family or whoever. And so I said, well, do you want to handle that differently, perhaps? They said, well, how could I? I said, well, let's take, for example, somebody asks you at work if you're dating anybody. Gay people just like go into a zone and go just rigid because they don't know what to say, so they make up some kind of lie. I said, why, if you're a guy, why don't you just say, no, I'm not dating anybody right now. But if you happen to know a guy between the ages of 35 and 40 who likes to hike, is a person of faith, loves rollerblading, you know, the ocean, hey, I would love to meet him. I mean, that's how normal people do, you know, they're in mixed-gender relationships. They don't go, oh, my gosh, what should I say? Our fears that we build up in our minds are actually killing us.
Yeah.
And that's what we've got to get beyond.
I had this experience just recently. I'm a teacher. I teach music to kids. And and a mom asked me if I was seeing anyone, and I did that thing of like, no, not right now, you know, da-da-da. And she started talking about someone she wanted to set me up with.
Sure.
And she didn't mention gender. So I was sort of like, oh, maybe she's figured it out, da-da-da. And then all of a sudden, bam, she's really sweet. And it was like this three-week journey of me like... not calling. She gave me the number and everything, and I didn't know, you know, what to say. But it's one of those, I mean, it's funny now, but at the time I was like, oh my God, how do I get out of this? And it was all from being, you know, dishonest.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We've all been there.
And, you know, that's what kills us is, you know, the best recognition you can have just out of that is, wow, I really kind of compromised my integrity in a sense. I didn't really, you know, we have this great rationalization process in our community of rationalizing how we didn't really lie, you know.
Right.
And, of course, inside, we know that we really did not share our truth. And that's, you know, what happens. And our point is that if we do that time and time again, it's like a drop of water going on a rock. After many years, there's a crater. There's a hole. And we can't keep denying that. And what happens so often in our community, though, is we have encouraged our community to its own dysfunction. We have enabled our community. Now, 20, 25 years ago, we didn't have the tools we have now. But in terms of our overall community, it's time for us to grow up. We can't keep acting like we're 10 years old, you know? And I think that's an important lesson that our community needs to learn as a whole, because we're still waiting around for somebody to dong us with a magic wand to tell us we're okay, to make it safe. And people go, Dottie, don't you realize we're going to lose things? I said, we're already losing things, like jobs and all. We're already being harmed. And, you know, when people talk about, oh, everybody else is responsible for the hate crimes against our community, I go, you know what? It's time for us to accept that our silence, our own silence, is contributing to the death of people in our own community. Mm-hmm. That's what you call taking personal responsibility for what we're creating. And we're not there yet as a community. We're still, you know, giving ourselves a lot of leeway. They go, well, they're on a journey to learn how to tell the truth. When's the last time you heard anybody say that President Bush was on a journey, and we just need to give them time? Yeah, it is kind of funny, because when you put it like that, you go, oh, yeah, we wanted him to do it 8 years ago. We wanted him to risk his presidency to stand up for us, and yet we won't even risk telling our mom and dad.
Right.
You know? So we've got to start taking a look at this.
Wow. Yeah, it's true. And it's so, I don't know if I'm the only one, I'm probably not, but my next step after not, you know, like just using that as an example, the woman who wanted to set me up with her friend, my next default place was, well, it's okay that I lied because it's the straight community that made me lie, you know, and that's not right.
That's right. That's what we call the victim role. If I can always deflect to somebody else, I never have to look at myself. And that doesn't make you bad or wrong, but, you know, I'm not trying to say that at all. But what you're doing now is your awareness. What happens, we do this unconsciously, and we don't voice it and bring it to the surface and admit that this is what we've done. But the moment we do, then we have an awareness that allows us to begin to shift it. Because, you know, you have a choice. You can go, I can keep going down that path, or I can change the way I want to be in these situations.
Right.
And my question is always to people, did handling it that way empower you?
Mm.
And if they go, yes, I go, well, keep doing it then. Hooray for you. But you know what they say 99% of the time? No, it didn't empower me. I feel terrible. I feel yucky inside. I go, well, then what do you want to do about it? If you're willing to shift, then, hey, we can go somewhere with that.
Yeah. Well, I'm running out of time. I'm afraid I'm going to have to wrap it up.
Yeah. Well,
but thanks for being on the show, you guys.
Hey, thank you. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Michael. It's been a pleasure.
And where are you
And
guys?
Will you make sure that people know how to get to our website?
I will. In fact, you want to say the name of the website right now?
Yeah, it's gayintostraightamerica.com. And we put out a newsletter every Thursday. And if people are interested in following the adventures of two crazy women in a poodle, notice I didn't say that the poodle was crazy. We're kind of wild sometimes. She's the same one, Riley Joy. She's sitting here, and she would talk, but she's asleep. But anyway, you can click join our newsletter in the upper right-hand corner.
Okay. And then are you guys finishing the journey on, because you started on September 11th, 2005, is that right?
Yes, and we're actually finishing at the end of September, although we do plan to continue Gay into Straight America into corporations. Because we've done some diversity training for Sodexo and met with the representatives of AOL and Freddie Mac, and we have some other groups. And so we really hope to continue doing our training with corporations this next year.
Great. Well, I'm sorry that...
And writing our book and getting the documentary finished.
Oh, wow. There's so much going on. I'll try to put... Well, I will. I'll put links to all this stuff on my website, too.
So okay. Thank you so much.
I wish I had found out about you guys earlier, but I guess... This is good, too.
That's right.
Well, thank you, Michael. And if you want to do any follow-up, some people that we did interviews with yesterday are wanting to do follow-up in, you know, a couple of months. So if you want to, just give us a buzz.
I will, and I'll definitely sign up for the newsletter, too.
Okay. So sounds great, Michael. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Okay. Thanks, Michael. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Hi, I'm Ninja, the host of the Hot Fossils and Rubble Matter show. I give you 15, give or take, minutes of fun-filled observations, commentary, reviews, performance pieces, and sometimes interviews. Sometimes serious, sometimes not, sometimes hot. I invite you to try it out. That's the Hot Fossils and Rubble Matter show at Hot FRM. blogmatrix.com. I'm also listed on www.qpotter.org. Give it a try. I'd love to spend some time with you.
And thank you, Ninja. And happy 1 year of... God, my brain just stopped. Happy 1 year of podcasting, too, with her 60th episode. That was 1 year. Congratulations. Not a lot of us hang on that long. So sweet. That's so good. So that's all I've got for you today. If you'd like to send an email, you can send it to MikeyPod@gmail.com. The website is MikeyPod.com, and you can call in, as my pal C-Dog did, at 206-339-6682. And please, I love the feedback. Keep it coming. I am going to leave you now with my new favorite podcast, or pod safe band, I guess I should say. But really, like, they're not just my favorite podcast
I mean, PodSafe band, but I love them. I really love this band. It's New Sense, and this is another track from them I haven't played yet. It's called Ready to Leave, and I want to also draw your attention to a podcast that they're on called The Third Shift Recording Company. The debut episode of this is... yeah, it's got a podcast with an interview with these guys, and also from Maritime, if I'm not mistaken. I know all these guys are kind of connected. And then also this new band, which I haven't really checked out very closely, called, what are they called? Farewell Circuit. And if you listen to the podcast, you'll hear a little shout out to Wanda. Just a real quick one is all I caught. But because she mentioned that the guys from New Sense are easy on the eyes. And I don't want to diss them in any way, shape, or form, but if you run by the Farewell Circuit on MySpace, which I'll link to, and I'll also put them in my top eight, as well as the Third Shift Recording Company. So I'm just starting to do that with every episode when I can put the people that I feature on the show in my top eight for those people that access the show through MySpace. Anyway, that was a long way to say, if you look at the picture, ooh, Lord, honey. The guy in the front is fucking cute. I shouldn't use such bad language, but oh, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. So anyway, I digress. This is New Sense with Ready to Leave. Please check out New Sense. They rock. And thanks. I'll have another show out for you guys in a couple of days with Eve Beglerian. I think tomorrow morning we're going to do our interview. So I may even have it out tomorrow afternoon. That's another one I'm real excited about. Send feedback, guys. Send me what you want to hear. If you're in New York or in Georgia, any of these places I'm headed, let me know so we can meet up. And I think that's it. Wow. Long show. Not too bad. It'll probably be 46, 47 minutes. Feedback. Bye.
You've been listening to Mikey Pod on the Bayou with Michael Herron. Mikey wants your input to the show. Do you have a comment about something that was said on the show? A review or a promotion of a cultural event, especially in the Houston area? Or you just want to say hi? Email is MikeyPod@gmail.com. The Mikey Pod Show hotline, 206-339-6682. And record it down for all to hear. See you next time right here for Mikey Pod on the Bayou. MikeyPod.com.